This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And thank you for being with us on The Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to talk to you about something that we don't normally talk about in the human society any longer, and that is sacrifice. Because we've been infiltrated by demonic people who make you think sacrifice means to kill some virgin and throw her into a volcano or something. No. Sacrifice means doing something without expectation of return. You're doing something out of a perspective of duty. You're doing something for a higher benefit. You're doing something for someone else. This is a sacrifice. You're restraining yourself from something you want to do something that's necessary. This is a sacrifice. You're giving of yourself as opposed to satisfying your selfish desires. This is a sacrifice. So from a spiritual point of view, a sacrifice is good. Why? Because it gets you out of selfishness. We've discussed many times on our program, I did a complete show about moving out of selfishness into selflessness as a divine result. It's a path to perfection. And in the Vedic literature, this is pointed out, this is a directive, that the human form of life is where the Lord allows the living entities to be happy and have everything they need if they simply perform a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. Now you go, wow, well, what does he want? I mean, what is a sacrifice? Wow. Well, that means that you have to not be selfish. You have to at least show your gratitude for the necessities. All right? That's the start of it, isn't it? You need air. Anybody, you know, make air? No, it's everywhere. Oh, divinely provided. Okay, there's one. Water? Okay, there's two. Wow, wait a minute. Gravity? We wouldn't do well without gravity. Okay. And you can quickly put together a list of things that your life wouldn't be possible, wouldn't be what it is, without these particular facilities provided from the divine. No man's provided them. No man's created them. No man is giving, delivering them. There's no trucks coming in from space. They're in the design of the manifestation for the sustenance of us living entities. In all the different species of life, all the little creatures and critters and thises and thats need water and to breathe, and they get it. Everybody needs to eat every day, and it happens. So there's a giant divine plan of maintenance. Everybody's always worried about, oh, who created it? Well, just stop and take a look at who is maintaining it? It takes an immense amount of resources, an immense amount of planning, coordinating, etc., to maintain this manifestation in such a way that it looks as though it's just naturally going on. So there should be some appreciation. You've been given parents, you've been given clothes, you've been given education, you've been given money, you've been given knowledge, you have the ability to see, you have the ability to hear, all your working senses, all your working organs, arms and legs and genitals and mouth, you have all these abilities. All of this stuff is provided, it's given to you. Well, then there should be at least an appreciation. There should be the concept of thank you very much for all these facilities that makes my life what it is. That concept, that expression, that prayer is a sacrifice. Very simplistic, but it is. And it should progress on from there. It should be that you're specifically doing something that you're not expecting return from. You're actually doing something for the pleasure, for the support of the Lord's intentions, the Lord's plan, the Lord's ideals, the Lord's instructions. You get these instructions from the spiritual master, even pleasing the spiritual master. The Lord says, by pleasing the spiritual master, you please me. This is the path that starts there to get to perfection. Spiritual master is the Lord's representative here to give you knowledge. And if you please him and you receive that knowledge humbly, that's the first level of satisfaction from the Lord's perspective. If you please my servant, you please me more than if you try to please me directly, is how he says it. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord brings out this concept that the performance of sacrifice in terms of the directions of the scriptures under the spiritual master, done as a matter of duty. You deserve this. I'm doing it out of duty. Thank you for all of the resources. And with no desire for material results. In other words, I'm not doing this in an asking mood. I'm doing this in an offering mood. I'm offering my gratitude. I'm not asking for something for my offering of gratitude. This mentality is to be considered in the mode of goodness. It's simply done correctly with the right intention. Very important, the right intention. So this is a sacrifice of highest quality. Now the Lord goes on and says, any sacrifice performed with pride and for some material benefit should be known to be in the mode of passion. It's not really pure yet, but at least it's a sacrifice. The Lord acknowledges even the attempt, the intention, even though it's done with a basis of pride and some desire for material result. So there is some benefit in that sacrifice. And he goes on further to say, any sacrifice performed without direction from the scriptures, without distribution of spiritual food to the participants, without Vedic mantras being performed, without any priestly remuneration for those who perform the sacrifice for you, and without faith, is considered in the mode of ignorance. So we've now gotten a series of perspectives, three perspectives, purified, yet to be purified, and misguided. So this is why we accept a spiritual master, and this is why we read the Vedic literature, to understand how to perform a sacrifice in the highest concept with a right consciousness and intent that the result is there. It is automatic. You're not doing it for the result, but you're trying to do it right to please the Lord and according to his instructions to the spiritual master. If you do that, there is a positive return from the Lord. Now, through the eons of time, different methods of sacrifice are prescribed. In some of the ages, meditation is prescribed, that you meditate for self-realization. It's a sacrifice of time and focus and energy. Similarly, there's worship of the deity. The image of the Lord is worshipped with a variety of paraphernalia, and the Lord describes and dictates what that paraphernalia should be: flowers, water, incense, a variety of simplistic things of that. And the Lord says, I will accept those. And that is another method, and that's used in a different era. In this age, some of the requirements for those methods are unattainable. Like meditation, very few of us can sit down and meditate for very long periods of time. Our minds are so distracted, our minds are so short attention span, that being able to do that is nearly impossible. The mind is wandering, flickering, going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. You just try to sit there and focus on anything, wherever you might be at the moment. Maybe you're in a car, you focus on a button on the dashboard or a spot on the windscreen. Or you try to focus wherever you're sitting in a chair on, maybe the pencil on the table or maybe a cup. You try to focus on that for a full minute without looking at or thinking about anything else. And good luck with that. And this is to show you how difficult the situation is in our lifetimes, in our environment. We've all had our attention span ruined by the constant flickering of electromagnetic fields and the constant flickering of the television and distraction and everything you can think of. There's signboards and stuff to blow your mind and distract you everywhere. So what is the method for this age? I need something simple. I need something cheap. I need something effective. I need something that I can use it any way, anywhere, anyhow. I need something that isn't a consumable. It doesn't wear out. I'm going to have to get a new one. I need something that's universally effective, universally applicable, something I can use anywhere at any time under any circumstances that I see fit or have need. Well, that's a lot of prerequisites, isn't it? But that's the situation we're in. We have a need for something very simplistic and very practical and very universal. We have that need. And nobody has enough money, so I'm certainly not going to be able to pay for it. So the Lord perceived. The Lord anticipated. The Lord could see the future, knowing we will be in this situation. And he devised a method that would work. Then he said, who am I going to get to deliver this? How am I going to get these people to learn this method? How am I going to make it known to them? How am I going to prove it? How am I going to reward them? How am I going to entice them that if they try it, it's good, so they do it again? How am I going to explain it to them so that they're going to be able to understand it? Even if they're very simplistic and uneducated and unfortunate, they still deserve to have the solution. So he said, I've got to figure how to get this method delivered to them and make it work. Who am I going to entrust to this? How is this going to get sorted? And he decided to incarnate himself and deliver the method personally and propagate it as much as he could and empower everyone who adopted the method to be able to propagate it as well. And then send his representatives throughout centuries of stimulating the method, supporting it, expanding it, developing it, protecting it, to get the method to where it eventually goes all over the planet and everybody gets the method. They all know in this age the method has been prescribed and delivered by the Lord and protected by the saints and sages, such that it gets to everybody without adulteration. So this is the approach, the mentality that the Lord employed to bring the method for this age to you and me. Because we need something serious. We need a method of sacrifice that does not really cost, because we have no money, that is not restrictive, that is universal. All these points we just discussed. So what the Lord did was, he created a specific sound vibration, and he teaches you how to create that sound vibration. And if you use that sound vibration, it has a reflective resultant upon the sacrificer that he tastes love of God. He tastes the level of perfection he's seeking. He tastes the highest goal that he would get after many, 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 many years of the other methods. He gets it immediately. Now, this is a very benevolent approach on the part of the Lord to those of us in this age who have so many difficulties to overcome. But a sound vibration doesn't get old. A sound vibration doesn't cost you. A sound vibration can go anywhere. A sound vibration becomes a tool you can use whenever you want, wherever you are, under whatever circumstances. It sets up a resonant vibration across your life and everyone around you. The entire atmosphere and area around you is improved or purified. And it delivers the result of love of God. What a wonderful idea. What a magnificent solution for this age with all the issues we have. So the sound vibration has the benefit of vibrating your entire body with your own tongue and your own breathing and your own thinking. And it impacts you and it impacts whoever else hears it. So you chant it and you hear it. And it penetrates anything, because sound can penetrate anything. You can have a brick wall, and if somebody makes a big noise on the other side, that sound gets through that wall. So sound is a very penetrative, powerful force. So he picked a very good medium, and then he put it into a sequence of terms that forms a cadence, can be sung, can be chanted, can be resonated anywhere and everywhere. And he called it the Great Mantra for Deliverance. Maha Mantra. The Great Mantra. Mind Delivering. Ma means mind and tra means to deliver. The Great Mind Delivering Mantra. And it's free. And it works. And if you chant it offenselessly, in other words, I don't want something, I'm doing it as a sacrifice. If you have that understanding and you chant it as a sacrifice, the intent, the purification, the potency is magnified. And if you chant it with others so that everyone's voices combine together and everyone gets the same vibration, the same singing, the same tone, the same chanting, it increases the taste of love of God everyone gets. And the Lord is so benevolent that if you put 20 people together and the 20 people are chanting the Maha Mantra, you would expect to get the result of 20 input. But the Lord is so kind, He increases it. You get 21, 25, 30 in result back as He sees fit, as He recognizes your sincerity in performing this sacrifice. So now we have a solution for you and me in this age of confusion, of distraction, of physical limitations, mental limitations, external limitations. We have the Maha Mantra that you can use. You become empowered to use it yourself and to deliver it to others. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can benefit from it. This is the most liberating, most rapid, quick, fast-acting. They say that in advertisements for medicine, fast-acting drugs. Take this drug and in a moment your pain's gone. Similarly, this is so potent that as you start to chant within a minute, you taste love of God, the highest perfection of life, love of God. It's encoded into the Maha Mantra. So what a great opportunity we're talking about here. And that is the method for this age. The chanting of the Maha Mantra is the solution, is the medicine for this age. And it's free. And you can use it anywhere, anytime, under whatever circumstances. And the Lord is always listening. And whenever He hears the Maha Mantra, He becomes satisfied. Your sacrifice becomes successful. So this is a great boon. This is a great mercy. This is a great intelligent decision. A magnificent inauguration of a method so pure, so sublime, so useful, so universal that everybody can be benefited. What a wonderful thing the Lord has done for those of us here in this age. The Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you take that mantra, remember that mantra, say that mantra, hear that mantra, it begins to motivate, it begins to resonate and vibrate in your mind. You sing it once with all gusto and all strength and all vibrato and all intention and the biggest yell you can make, and it cleanses your mind and it leaves an impression of pure love of God. And it continues to resonate in your head. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And you're able to uplift yourself and ride on the wave of the Maha Mantra all the way back home, back to Godhead. Purifying everything, all the sinful reactions, all the mistakes you may have made, all of this bad decisions that may have come by, it all gets cleansed by the mantra. So there's no restriction, no inhibition to becoming perfected in this very life, in one lifetime. It's that powerful. It's that universal. It's meant for us. We need something like this. And that's what is provided in the Vedic literature. That is what is provided by the Lord's wisdom and compassion. He inaugurates it through the incarnation of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 560 years ago. And He brought the chanting of this mantra live in the flesh to the planet. And now it's covered the entire planet. Everybody has understood there is a Hare Krishna movement. There is a Hare Krishna mantra. There is the Maha Mantra on the planet. It is helping everybody. It started out odd. It started out something I didn't understand. It started out something for some people, but not me, and it's turned into a universal purification process that everybody who uses it receives benefit and acknowledges it. Nobody can forget it once they've heard it. It's so good, so beneficial, so positive that it builds confidence, faith, understanding, because it does represent, it is a method of sacrifice for this age that anybody can perform. So we encourage you. The spiritual master Srila Prabhupada says you should chant the mantra constantly. And you should use beads, chanting on beads, so that you can count. The beads that are provided, called japa beads, they are 108 beads on a strand, and you chant the 108, you chant the mantra once on each bead and move to the next, until you've done 108 beads, and that is called one round. Then you turn around and you go back the other way for another 108 mantras, another round. And you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until you do 16 rounds a day. And your life is sublime. Your problems dissolve. You step on to the spiritual platform. Now, in the beginning, you won't do that. You're not going to chant that much that long that time. But the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, teaches us, whatever you can do, but do the same amount every day. The balance set up by that consistency is very important and beneficial. You can chant one round every day. It only takes you 5 minutes. And every day you dedicate 5 minutes as a sacrifice by using the mantra and uplifting your consciousness and tasting love of God and purifying your existence and opening the path back home, back to Godhead, by starting with one round every day. And by association with spiritual people and disciples of the spiritual master, you'll find that you quickly start doing more and more and more. Because all of the disciples of the spiritual master chant 16 rounds a day as his request for initiation. And we keep that vow. And that vow sustains everyone and influences everyone. And the Maha Mantra expands because of that vow. And you can be involved. You can achieve that initiation status as you build to 16 rounds. It's a great accomplishment, a great achievement, very satisfying to the spiritual master, exactly what the Lord prescribed as a sacrifice for this age. And you become purified. And everything, everyone around you is too. So it's a way of doing good, even to people that are obstinate and grumpy. Doing good to even the animals, the creatures, the bugs, the spiders, the creepy crawlies, the hoppers and runners and jumpers and tweeters, all benefit by hearing the Maha Mantra. So this is the opportunity in this age. It isn't available in other ages. It is now. It's available for you and I. It's a sacrifice. It's a purification. It's a method. It's a perfection. All wrapped up into one. It's free. It's easy. It's anywhere. It's anytime. It's available. It's possible. For the rich, for the stupid, for the old, for the young, for the happy, for the intelligent. It's there for everyone of every level of consciousness. So this opportunity is being offered by the spiritual master as the servant empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who delivered the mantra to this planet. And Srila Prabhupada has gone all over the planet. He's traveled around the planet, I think, 14 times in 12 years, delivering the Maha Mantra and making disciples and encouraging everyone to chant the 16 rounds all over the planet, and he changed this planet. Oh yes, the selfish and the foolish and the arrogant are still out there talking nonsense. But those devoted are tasting and living in love of God, and they know that the perfection they seek is there, and they will achieve that level of perfection in this very life. This is the benefit of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.